Roz and Mocha.
And now it's time for Ask Roz and Mocha.
Episode 1133 of the Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Here we go. Edward, what's up, dude?
Hello. Hi.
Yo, Edward, you've been on the show like enough times the past couple of weeks, huh?
I think so.
Yeah. You ask a lot of questions. Well, here we are again on the podcast. Edward, go ahead.
So my question was, what is the strangest thing, or the weirdest thing, rather, that a stranger has offered you?
What the hell? Okay. Roz, you go first.
Nope.
Maury, you go second.
Well, that's not strange, though.
What is it? What's your answer?
No, I was going to say drugs.
Okay.
Is that strange, though?
That's what I mean. Like, I've been offered sex and drugs.
I think it's strange because it comes from a stranger.
You've been offered sex from a stranger.
Right, well, they were offering it to everyone. They were offering it to everyone.
Yeah, no, we're talking about just to you.
Everyone. I was part of a group, right? Oh, it was a field trip.
Yeah. Okay. What's your answer, Maury, then? Oh, that's
drugs.
Your,
drugs. Okay.
Everyone in the cabin had the same option I did.
That's so wild. Shem, weirdest thing?
Probably a threesome. And it's strange because it comes from a stranger. That's what makes it strange.
Wait, right? What? Where were you? Explain the situation.
Oh, in Vegas. I was with my ex-wife at the time, and we were approached to participate in a threesome and also an adult content film.
Oh, so it was you?
Yeah?
Okay, wait, so it was you?
Amber.
So you weren't the solo act joining two.
No.
They were interested in you and your wife.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha,
and I've been, gotcha, and again, gotcha, I mentioned gotcha, it to be in an adult film.
Yeah, I think you would have been paying that. That's not for free. Those kinds of offers in Vegas aren't for free. Yeah. That's like when they tell you to go and watch this video on a timeshare.
Oh, God.
And you're there for 5 hours.
Been there before.
Right? Yeah. When those offers come in Vegas, you are paying.
Yeah.
That is not a legitimate.
Nope.
Maria, what's your answer, girl?
This happened in elementary school. Okay, I had a supply teacher once, and he offered me a dog treat for doing well on an assignment.
What?
Yeah.
A dog treat?
Yeah, he like took it out of his pocket and he was like, good job, would you like a dog treat? And I said, no.
Was, like, was it an actual dog treat?
It was a legit,
it was a legit
milk bone.
Dog treat.
It was a milk bone.
A milk bone?
And he had it in his pocket.
How did he not get
fired? At least
fired?
It was warm.
Was he being funny?
No, he was dead serious.
Like, he thought you were actually going to take the milk bone.
Yeah.
Yo.
Did he just do that to just be insulting, though, do you think?
Maybe. I don't know, because, like, when I was in, like, grade 7,
why would you do that to a kid in grade 7? That's a weird adult joke to make.
Did you ever tell anyone? That seems like something that he would be fired for.
No, I didn't. I just kind of laughed it off my friends.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What's your answer? Weirdest thing a stranger has offered you.
So my only interaction with strangers would be, like, at the pool hall. Last Canada Day long weekend, I think I had one guy approach me and said, oh, nice haircut. I said, oh, thanks. And then all of a sudden, he's like, I don't mean to be forward, but would you be interested in a threesome? And then I turn around, I look, it's two dudes. I'm like, no, I'm good. And then I just threw my friend under the bus. He just happened to walk outside. Maybe ask that guy.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
And they're like, yo, have you ever heard of our friend Shem?
Yeah. I mean, I've been offered like all of that stuff, drugs and, you know, but I don't consider that to be weird. Like, that's just, you know, I told that story last week about that woman that offered me to wax anything on my body for free on the street.
Yeah, that's a pretty strange interaction.
Right? Yeah, but I cherish
It wasn't like she, not just her.
No.
It was like a group of ladies.
They had students.
Right?
Yeah, big fans of the show. Uh-huh. Right? And yeah, this all happened yelling at each other in a parking lot. Like, that stuff is interesting. There was
really quick, before you tell that story.
Yeah.
Since you told the story about the waxing, have you gone back to that neighborhood? Have you been in that parking
lot? All the time.
Do they recognize? Have any of them said anything?
Nobody has come back out yet.
Oh, okay.
Nobody. But it's been cold.
Oh, okay.
Right?
You do look smoother.
That's why I'm keeping the hair.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's summertime.
Yeah. Yeah. Hit me up in the spring.
I don't say that. They will. Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to knock on the window. Yeah, because they got that sign on the window that says smooth in 15 minutes. To me, that doesn't seem like a bad investment in time.
No.
Right?
Not at all.
Why not?
Yeah.
You know what I didn't know about those places? Catherine was telling me that the laser hair removal places?
Yeah.
You know what I didn't know? Is that they charge by the body part.
Yeah,
yes,
they do.
That's what I'm going through right now for my back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's not like an hour of a session or whatever. They charge from the body part.
No, and especially if you do different body parts at the same time, like you're paying so many different things.
Yeah, because some
like
women...
Like chest is different from back?
Well, yeah, cause, armpits from legs.
Because some women go in and do like forehead to toes, right? Okay. All the way down, back and front. Oh. But my question was like, is the back of the legs... Is that the same price as the front of the legs? Like, it's just considered legs?
I've done my legs, but I only did half leg.
Knee down, not front
knee
back.
Knee down.
Okay. You should do front back. That would be cool.
But front and back are all one, like,
front
price.
Back, okay,
so it's,
that
like, back of my knees and then to my ankles and then to front.
Right.
And then,
Because it's for me, it would be hard because some people who are hairy... Like, there's no distinct line border where, like, where hair ends from one body part
doing,
to
like,
another part.
Each separate shoulder,
right?
Left side, right side.
But is that one? Back. Is that one part or two parts?
Two parts.
That's
two parts.
Where do you go for laser?
No, because some places are like that, Maria. Like one arm is shoulder to fingertips. Mm-hmm. Another arm is shoulder to fingertips.
Really? Because I've done like my underarms and like the underarms are combined as one unit.
Yes, but if you're doing your underarm and your arm.
Then arms are one price and underarms are one price.
Right, but what I'm saying is, but what I'm saying is that if you're doing like one arm from shoulder to fingertips, another arm from shoulder to fingertips, that's two. But if you're just doing shoulders, that's still two. I know it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. I know. This is why it's confusing to me.
Question.
I had a whole conversation about it because I was like, okay, so is like, if you're doing neck, like is neck attached to chest?
I got to ask my laser girl if she charges per shoulder.
you might have been paying it. You don't even know, Maria.
Well, no, I don't do my shoulders. If I had hairy shoulders, I'd be concerned. But I'd be really concerned.
I mean, in general.
it's a super interesting world, though, how they charge for laser hair removal.
I have a question.
Oh, and my ears are separate.
But one, though, not two.
One, it's like one ear's...
So it's ears.
Ears.
Yes, I gotcha. Yes.
A pair. bro, I swear. Does that stuff hurt?
Depends on where you do it. Like,
so
if you're
hurts?
Doing your area, there are certain areas that are more sensitive.
Yeah.
But then if you're doing like the ankle, like I find that when I've done my legs, when you get to like right where the edge of your ankle is, like that I'm like, all the time.
You mentioned your armpits, right? Did that hurt?
No, my underarms never really hurt.
Okay.
No.
And more, you're doing your ears, your shoulders, your back.
And she upped the intensity in the last time I went and it
that's a lot of hair.
I couldn't, it burned in the shower.
Oh, then she burned you.
What are you getting waxed, Maury?
My back.
Lizard?
My back, yeah.
How much does that cost?
It's like 100 and something each time, and I have to go like six times.
Six?
Yeah.
Yeah, but once you're done, you're done. Like
No.
How much?
Because the problem is that also you got to get it done before your hair starts going gray, right? Or and it doesn't work well on people who are super fair haired. Like if you have like kind of like super blonde hair kind of thing, it doesn't work well. It works best on dark hair.
So you get the laser removal. Mm-hmm. And then it's not supposed to grow back at all.
I mean, she says
that's
theoretically.
It never permanently stops.
No, like for my legs, I did six sessions, but my leg hair would not grow back for like 3 weeks. And then I would get a little bit of stubble, and then I would shave them again, then it would take another 3 weeks. Like your hair's still going to grow back because hormones and body, but like it wasn't like I had to shave my legs like twice a week. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you should. Get him to do a design, Maury, in your back.
Oh, that'd be sick.
Yeah, something like that.
Like an arrow?
Yeah, something. I don't know. Like
smiley face.
Yeah, just like a smiley face.
Like a
or your name would be cool, right? I think you should get
them
look
on
into
the back.
That. Yeah, yeah. But what I was going to say is that years ago when I had a kid, I was talking to somebody. I wasn't here. I was on like a work trip with somebody from here, from Toronto. And I remember when I had a kid and we were talking about childcare and this guy made like a weird comment about babysitting, right? Uh-huh. And I was like, well, it's kind of cool because my, you know, Catherine at the time, I was like, you know, she, you know, works for herself so she can be home and still do work and it's great. And then he had said something to the effect of it's difficult to find childcare, but then he made the comment of that he was really good with kids, right?
Wait, what?
And I was like, and I just sort of moved on to the conversation, but I was like, are you offering to look after my kid?
That's what it sounds like. Absolutely.
Yep. Right?
Absolutely.
And I'm like, I barely knew him.
That's so weird.
Like, barely knew him.
Yeah, that definitely is
and you're a grown
very
man.
Weird thing to say.
And you didn't come at it and say, hey, you know, I used to be an elementary teacher and now I'm doing... Like, there was no sort of foundation of credibility.
Like, cool, you like kids and you're good with kids.
Yeah, you're good with kids. Yeah.
And you're supposed to trust that.
Yeah, yeah. I found that really, really weird. And I just moved on from that conversation. Uh-huh. I don't think I ever saw the guy after that, too.
You sure he wasn't my supply teacher?
Yeah, yeah. And then he put a biscuit in my pocket. Which is weird, and I found it later. Oh. Still warm.
Oh, Edward, you're the best, bro. Thank you so much. Appreciate you, dog.
Thank you.
All right, later.
All right.
Richard says here, do you turn on the water before entering the shower, or do you step in first and then turn on the water?
And what, and get hit with the cold?
I know. Always turn the water on first, let it warm up, let the water warm up, and then you walk in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? That's everybody, right?
100%. Okay.
I wait till my entire washroom's like heating, like a sauna in there, and then I get in.
Like, wait till it's all like foggy and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
How long are you running the water for, Maria?
My dad listens to this.
Yeah, 10 minutes?
Sometimes it's been like 10, yeah.
10 minutes.
Yeah.
So I never have like a hot shower in the morning because the time I shower, mm-hmm. there's not enough hot water in the building because the people on the top floor aren't awake to use the hot water themselves to create enough hot water for the lower floor.
That's not how it works.
What, do you live in silo?
So if I shower later in the day, I have a great hot shower, but in the morning, there's just not enough hot water generated by the building.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Bro,
that's amazing.
That doesn't make sense.
Because it's like if it's an on-demand system, right? Yeah. Uh-huh. Or what it could be is that because Maury's waking up, people have been using it all night, dishwashers before all bed, all this other stuff, right? Yeah. And if it hasn't replenished itself into the holding tank, you won't get hot water. Like, it takes a while for that thing to heat up again. And the way schedules work is normally nobody notices it because most people aren't showering at 3 a.m.
You should call your building management and ask them what time the replenish happens, what time that machine goes off to start bringing in the warm water. And then you adjust your schedule to shower once it's like, you know, at a decent...
I'm here.
You should just ask for a bucket.
Yeah,
can you bring me some... You should call down the concierge and say, hey, can you bring me some hot water? In a pail. Yeah, I got to have a wash.
You should start boiling water.
Yeah. Yeah. What was I going to say? What were we talking about?
About water.
We have one shower where it's kind of big, right?
Yeah.
And it's a glass wall and there's no lip on the floor at all. Like, it's just tile straight in.
Oh, yeah.
And then they grind the floor down a little bit, right? Uh-huh. So it's seamless. But there's a big piece of glass and you have to make a run for it. Right? Like I won't turn the shower on if I'm still wearing clothes, right? Because for me to go into the shower and turn that water on, I then have to run out, right?
Got
like
it.
It's not like you can't from outside the shower reach in and get the... Yeah. And
you don't want to get hit with that
you
little
can't.
Bit of cold.
Like, you got to go into the shower,
right?
Turn it on. The first time I did it, I didn't have my timing down right. So what I did was I got naked, right? I went in the shower and I put my back against the wall where the shower spout is.
Yeah.
Right? And then reached behind me and turned it on with my back up against it. So all the cold water was missing me. And then I just stuck my toe out.
But still, you get that one
splash.
Where two drops that hit you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but sometimes you got to run.
Maria, in the 10 minutes that you, or 10 plus minutes that you let the shower run at home for it to steam up, I would have already... brush my teeth, taken a shower, moisturize my skin, and then be out of the bathroom.
Yeah.
In that amount of time.
Yeah.
Easy.
Like,
easy.
I don't care.
No.
Easy. My kid takes a shower. If she has a shower, it's an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's in there an hour.
Especially if it's like an everything shower. Oh.
I'm like, what are you doing?
Everything.
And then I go in, there's hair all over the wall.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, shed, you know, the whole thing.
Melissa says, here, with Easter coming up, I can't help but think and wonder, who would be the best at an Easter egg hunt? Who would find the most? Mocha, because he's the closest to the ground, maybe?
Oh, damn.
First of all, Melissa, the shortest one on the show and oldest is Dan Mamori. So the short jokes should go towards him. But who would be the person to find the Easter eggs first?
Are we in a location that we're familiar with or no?
I would say no.
No. So are we inside?
I'd say generic field.
Are we? Oh, so we're outside.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
Okay. Interesting. Outside.
mean, there's too many variables.
Yeah,
outside.
Yeah. Well, I love, we always do them outside. They're the best. Easter egg hunts outside is the way they should be. But I would say if we were inside someone's, like if we were inside a house that we were all unfamiliar with, right?
Yeah.
Regular size house with regular house stuff in it. Okay.
I think I do really well just knowing in a house or in a place where the most likely spots are that the Easter Bunny would hide things.
I fully agree. I think me and Mocha would crush.
Yeah.
Right?
We destroy all you guys.
Also, I'm the tallest and people like to, you know, they
oh, ha-ha, it's all the way up here.
Ha-ha, it's all the way up here. Look how high the bunny goes, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then the bunny's like, he's not that smart because I always see. Uh-huh. I always see.
And then if you need help, you just go to the second tallest, me. And you'd be like, hey, Mocha, can you just like, reach and get right up there, right?
But that would be fun, though. I love Easter egg hunts, man.
I do too.
I really do. I don't even need anything
inside
in them.
The vent, right? You can go and reach your arm inside of a vent.
That's true.
Right?
You can put them down the sink drain.
I still think I would do quite well. Like, I've had kids, like, I've done Easter egg hunts with kids that are like my brothers.
Yeah. Oh no,
At Passover, I'm always the one that finds the afikoman.
So what? What's afikoman?
The middle matzah, and then the oldest person goes like, you know, grandfather or something goes and hides the middle matzah.
Wait a second. You're explaining this like we all know.
Uh-huh.
Okay,
the middle matzah?
I assume that everyone knows.
Okay, so explain, this happens on when?
Passover.
And you hide
a piece of matzah.
Okay.
What's matzah again?
It's like the unleavened cakes for Passover because the Israelites, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
cracker.
Yeah, okay. So where do you hide it?
So I don't hide it. Like a grandfather, a grandmother hides
where,
it.
Where do they hide it? So like somewhere in the house or somewhere somewhere in them?
So it was somewhere in the house. It could be in a book. It could be like behind the TV, wherever.
What does it look like? It's flat?
Yeah, it's flat.
Okay.
And the youngest person in the room goes and finds it. And I'm always the youngest.
Right.
So,
and so you would go and find the matzah.
You're the youngest?
When I met my grandmother's? Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, okay.
True. And
but they don't invite anybody else? That's so wild. So it's you and old, like, bro, that's got to say something. They consider you one of them.
Yeah. So what is the reward for finding the matzah?
Like $2?
$2?
$2, that's it?
And it doesn't change from when you're two, like when you're 10?
It's always $2.
To when you're 48?
Yeah, $2.
No, $2. Yeah. Well, and you still get up out of the chair and go find the stupid matzah?
That's $2.
Oh my goodness.
Is it the same matzah or is it different matzah?
No, it's different every year.
It's different every year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And has there ever been a year where you didn't find it and you had to ask for clues?
Yes.
Yeah? Do they do hot and cold with you?
Hot and cold.
Yeah, there we go. That's the best.
Wow.
That's the best.
Emily says, if there's a vehicle behind you and then they pass you to cut in front of you, do you allow them to? I say no.
What do you mean?
I guess if there's a car that's, if you're not making way for the car that's quickly coming up behind, and if they do the maneuver where they go around.
Oh, they
around,
go to center lane and pass
and then,
you?
And then they want to get into your lane. Do you allow them to get into your lane?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think.
I mean, if it's safe, like, sure, like, go about your business. I'm not trying to get into an accident with you.
Yeah, I don't play those games in the car, really, right? Like, if somebody's being a complete tool, I will either put as much distance from me to them in front of them, or I will ease off. It's not for me. But if I see somebody who's kind of driving like a jackass in front of me, I'll do what I can to get in front of them so they're not in front of me. Because if they're going to get into an accident, I want it to be behind me and not in front of me.
Actually, no, I did do that move to a Tesla on Saturday. I was on the highway.
You did what?
Because he was driving really, I saw him from way far back.
Yeah.
And he was driving really aggressive and he was like high beaming cars. Right. And people were moving out of the way. And then he came up behind me and he was like high beaming. And I'm like, I was going fast already.
Maybe he had an emergency.
Maybe.
No, he didn't.
He then went over to the middle lane.
And tried.
And then I just like gunned it a little bit more.
Yeah.
So he couldn't. So then he had to come back right behind me. And then he went in front of the truck that I was like helping to block.
Right.
And then he took off.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't usually mess around with somebody who's obviously aggressive.
Yeah.
Right. It actually makes me feel uncomfortable if I'm driving and then I see somebody. You can always tell too. Like you feel the energy on that part of the road while you're driving changes when you see that guy who is just like not following. Not that you have to follow the rules, but like there's just no care.
Mm-hmm. Especially if like you're driving like 130 or one, like you're going at a good speed, like that left lane, and someone's just riding your tail.
Yeah.
It's like, how much faster do you want me to go?
Yeah.
Like you get your car impounded at 140. Like,
do
relax.
You really? Is it
yeah, 140? It's 140 now.
Oh, when I see somebody cut in front of a truck where they only leave like 10 feet in between them and the truck.
Yeah.
Oh my God, my heart stops.
I know, that's scary. Yeah. It's Final Destination type stuff.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yes. Yeah, my heart stops.
Shem, you seem like a pretty safe driver. If someone is quickly approaching, do you allow them, let's say if they do the maneuver where they go into the center lane, if you're in the far left, and then they go to
overtake you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Will you slow down and let them in?
I'd like to say that I'm evolved and I'm mature, but no. I will not. I'm petty. I will do whatever I can to make sure that they don't get in front of me.
Really?
Yeah. I just get petty on the road. Yeah. I find it like really annoying when you try to intimidate me by coming up behind me as if I should just move out of your way. Like, who the hell do you think you are? Yeah. Nah, I'm petty that way.
The only time I really, really go off on somebody is if, because when I'm driving my kid home,
yeah,
my kid finishes at 4. Sometimes she gets out of there little bit early, right? Like sometimes she'll be in the car at like 3:58.
Oh, nice.
And then the next 3 intersections from her school, and these are busy intersections. Mm-hmm. The next 3 intersections all have signs that say no left turns after 4.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And when it's 4:01, 4:02, and 4:03, people still try.
Uh-huh.
And I will lay on the horn because they know, right? And what they do is they get up to the intersection like they're going through it. And at the last second, they brake and signal. And I am like vicious with the horn. Vicious.
Can I tell you, at my kid's school, I am the exact, between a certain time when it's very, very busy and you leave that school parking lot, you're only supposed to make a right. Go with that flow of traffic.
Yeah.
There are so many times you're not allowed to make a left. And I'm the exact same way. And Jenna hates it because she says these other parent, like, you don't know who you're honking at. Could mm-hmm. be another parent that's like has a kid in cruise class. I'm like, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you are holding up traffic. I did it the other day. Mm-hmm. Like, almost every single day, I am honking at some idiot parent that's trying to make a left when they shouldn't.
Yeah.
Because a parking lot is just packed and there's cars like lined up behind me.
Yeah.
I'm like, I just want to go home.
Yeah.
Just make the right friggin' turn.
Yeah. I know. We all have iPhones. All of the time of day is synced for everyone. It's not like you can say, oh, I looked at the radio in the car and it was off by 2 minutes. No, we all have the same time.
And there's a giant sign right
and
there.
When it is 4:01, bro, you're not turning left. I'm not letting you.
Yeah.
Deanna says here, do you guys ever get stressed out about work? Do you ever make mistakes and get anxious about it? Who wants to go first? Who's the most stressed here about work?
Maury.
Yeah, damn it, Maury, for sure.
I don't know if I am the most, I put a lot into it. I don't know if I'm the most stressed. I think
you're the one that may carry a lot of the, I would say because of what you're responsible for, you have like all these deadlines that you have to make. But are you just used to them by now?
Right now I'm stressed because you brought it up.
Right.
I don't know.
But what do you do?
Never mind, after this podcast, we're going to ask you to go find the matzah.
So what do you do for the stress, Maury?
Like I might take a walk, I might take a break, I'll make a coffee.
Yeah.
Maury takes enough breaks on this show.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta take
these
breaks.
Yeah, we call him Mo-Time.
Yeah.
Sometimes like, it's so busy here, Maury puts on his jacket.
Like, see ya.
Mo-Time.
And he's gone for like 15 minutes.
I'll be back.
Did you hop on the train?
Yeah, I know.
Go to Eaton Center?
Maury's going for a massage today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and what did you call him?
Oh, my massagist?
No, but what did you say?
Oh, I DM'd him and I said my ass is very sore.
Right. Now, when somebody, I guess a massage person would automatically start thinking the muscle.
Yeah.
Right?
Why would you say ass and not glutes?
Because, well, I don't know.
He doesn't know what glutes are.
Like, I mean, like, I've seen pictures of him in his Speedo. I figure we're at ass level.
Wait a
level.
Second. You've Wait, seen your masseuse in a Speedo?
What?
Because he posts pictures.
Shem's like, I've seen that video.
Yeah.
This is going to get bad.
This is where it gets awkward because I bet you Shem's seen the same picture.
No, what do you mean, man?
Oh.
Like,
isn't that what you're worried about right now?
No.
That's not? Oh, I thought that's what it was. I thought you were worried that you also go to the same masseuse that
Yo,
you
why
know.
Why are you showing me this, bro? Speedo. Like, I don't...
Let me see. What is it? What is he showing you?
What is that? Like, on his LinkedIn?
No, get Mocha to describe it.
His massagist.
Yeah.
Why do you have pictures of your masseuse, like, on your phone like this?
What's that?
Why are you following him on Instagram?
Don't we all?
No. Okay,
what is that? Is that clear plastic?
What is he wearing? Describe it.
Like,
describe it.
Is it gold? Why? Hold on. Okay, so he is wearing, it looks like boots, black boots.
Yeah, rubber and a Speedo?
Boots, and on his left leg, just above his knee, it looks like a garter.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
And is then he's wearing rubber boots, a Speedo, and a garter. See, Shem, this is a guy that took the deal in Vegas.
He's wearing, hold on. He's
That's
wearing like
the guy who
gold,
took the deal in Vegas.
Gold boxer briefs with suspenders. Yeah. That also wrap around his neck. He's wearing bandana around his neck, sunglasses, a cowboy hat with like frilly things all over.
Tassels?
Tassels, yeah. Surrounding the hat. This is the guy that's rubbing up your ass?
That's so confusing.
Why are you so excited?
Yeah. Damn. Wow. All right.
Shem's a Shem. Might be the same guy in the beginning.
Yeah, Shem. I'm worried now, Shem. I'm worried that it's going to be awkward because you're going to the same fella. Right? We're going to need to verify that.
You ever get stressed out about work, Ross?
Yeah, sure. I get stressed out about work, but I don't get stressed out about like the show. Right. I think that most people would think that that's where the stress comes from is like, you know, doing the show. The show doesn't stress me out. The sort of business of what we do stresses me out. The extra things that we do stresses me out. When we're shooting new commercial campaigns and all this stuff, it's an extremely stressful time for me. And I don't like it. You know what I mean? Like, it's not my favorite time of the year when we do.
And just for context, like Roz is the one.
Big campaigns,
the brains behind all of our campaign since the very beginning.
It stresses me out, and because what I love about this room and doing the show with you, right, is that you and I are on the same page 99% of the times, and then that 1% we're not. I will either realize that what I was going to do was wrong and you were right, or it's going to be flipped, right? Mm-hmm. Like it rarely works out a different kind of way. When it comes to the sort of creative process of the show, what I don't like about the business of things is that it's creativity by committee. Mm-hmm. And there's all these people involved and all these departments involved. And when you have that, everybody gets a say. And when you start with something that is a really, really great idea, and then you run it through a committee, right, is that it gets so diluted by people who have to have a sort of hand in it that by the end of it, sometimes I don't even really like the idea anymore because it's just gone through too many people. And so I like when things are closed, right? I like when it comes to something creative, I like doing it with a very, very small team, this room, me and you primarily, right? Like that's where I'm happiest. I don't like when you start having other people, you know, have big says over creative decisions that was once a great idea, you know, because my thing is if you start compromising, right, nobody's happy. That's what happens when you compromise. And too much time in business and in this world, you know, everybody loves a compromise. So why don't we do a little of this and a little of this? And I will go to the wall to not compromise. Whether you beat me down and I give up completely, or whether I beat you down and you give up completely. Because if we compromise, everyone's going to be unhappy about it by the end of it. That's what compromise gets you.
Maria, you get stressed over the show?
No, I think I'm not stressed, but I definitely like just take it seriously. Mm. I think if I were to make a mistake, I'd get stressed out, but I usually own those if I make them.
Yeah.
But I don't get stressed out just because I know that like everything usually works out, and there's always like, we're a team that kind of just like is able to work on the fly that way. If anything did go wrong, like any single one of us would be able to pick it up and find a solution in that moment. So,
Jimmy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think much like you, Roz, it's not so much doing the actual radio show that stresses me out. It's the other stuff outside of it, right? Like, because I got to attend a lot of meetings, and I'm always worried that there's going to be something that I miss or I forget. So I write everything down. But yeah, no, I mean, in terms of like doing the actual show, no, it doesn't stress me out at all.
Because I think that what maybe people don't realize when listening to the show is that the show is extremely fun. But what they may not see are the stakes. Mm-hmm. Right? And there's a lot at stake with a show like this. There's a lot at stake. There's a lot at stake for the station, for the company, for the other people who work at the station. You know, there's money, there's advertisers, there's all this stuff, right? Like there's just a lot at stake. And to me, you know, the great days are when I feel that we did a great show regardless of what was at stake, you know, and it's something that shouldn't be thought about, you know, like during the show. But no, Shem's right. When you, you know, when you walk out of the studio, you sort of start feeling the weight coming back onto your chest.
For sure.
Right? I don't know. Like, for me, like during the show, like I would say I'm stressed only because I put that stress on myself.
Yeah.
Because I'm a perfectionist when it comes to this show. So like every single thing that you hear, no matter if it's on the radio, on the podcast, like anywhere, like it has to be 100%. Like, and if I'm responsible for it, it is going to be 100%. So I put that, I think, stress.
But is that stress? Is that stress or is that
competition?
The process?
A little bit of both.
Because I think what winds up happening with you is that the stuff that falls on you, and so much falls on you, but I think that the process itself is overwhelming, and the solution that somebody would offer you is to just not care as much.
I know, but I can't.
Right? But you can't. That's not an option.
No.
Right? So that's the only way to alleviate it. It's the only way to change the feeling is to not care about it.
It's never going to happen, right?
It's never going to happen.
Absolutely. All right, let's get back to the phones real quick. Yo, Steven, what's up, man? Welcome to the Roz and Mocha Show.
Hi.
Hey. What's up? You surprised to be here or what?
Dog, you've been on hold for like 5 minutes. Actually, longer than that. You've been on hold for 12 minutes. Don't act so surprised that you're here now.
What's up?
Oh, yeah. No, this is crazy. Oh, gosh. Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
So I'm turning 21 this week.
Yeah.
I wanted to know what would have been your guys' like ideal 21st birthday present.
Oh,
like a car, for sure a car.
You think so?
Yeah. There was 1 year I was convinced my parents bought me a car.
Right.
And I woke up that day. I was so like, nobody was home, and I was like, I know that there's a car in that garage with a giant bow on it.
No,
it is my birthday. I am the oldest in the family.
Wait, were you like 21 or were you like 18? Like what age? Do you remember?
Probably like 16 or 17. Oh, or no, like maybe 18.
Yeah.
And I got up and I ran down the stairs. I went outside, went into the garage, and the garage was empty. Except for the recycling and garbage that was there.
No!
Yeah. And I was like, oh man. Anyway. So there was that. So before anyone else answers, Steven, what would you say is your ideal gift for your 21st birthday? What are you expecting, or what do you think should happen?
Okay. To be honest, I've never been picky with like my birthday gifts at all.
Yeah.
Like since I was younger, I've been obsessed with you guys like a lot recently. And I've been re-listening to the older podcast episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And the funniest thing I've ever heard was when you three were trying to sing happy birthday to this guy. Actually, coincidentally, I think his name was Steven as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But Maury was off key the entire time, and it was like the most funniest thing ever. So if Maury could sing me happy birthday, I think that would be my ideal 21st birthday gift.
That would be your ideal gift?
Damn, bro. I guess aim low, and then like anything else that you get that's awesome.
could have said bonus, right? Anything.
All right, so what, you want Maury to sing just a cappella solo?
Yeah.
Do you remember?
What if I said no?
Well, you don't have a choice, Maury.
It's his birthday, Maury.
Let me give you your note.
No, be serious. Be serious. Come on.
I haven't done this in forever. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Steven. Happy birthday to you. Yeah.
Okay. Dreams come true, Steven.
Oh my gosh. That was amazing.
All right. Hey, between Roz and Mocha, who's your favorite?
That was so scary.
Probably I'll have to go with my short king, Mocha.
Bro, I'm not short, man!
Sure.
Anyway, later, dude.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you, everyone, for all of your the comments that you leave on Instagram. At Kiss925 is where we get these from. Two of you will join us on the show.
Happy birthday to you.
Yeah, it's a ghostly birthday
Happy
rendition.
Dear Steven.
This has been episode 1133 of the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
To you.
that's how you end a podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Catch the guys live.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 10.
On KISS 92.5.
KISS925.com.
Or download the Seeker app.